This is Here and Now.
Here's to the good times we gonna have. You don't need money, got a free pass. Here's to the fact that I'd be sad without you. I want you to have it all.
You're listening to Have It All. It is the lead single off of the latest album from Jason Mraz, which is called No, K-N-O-W. It is out this week. Mraz is 41. He grew up in rural Virginia, and he's won 2 Grammys. His music spans many genres, from reggae to rap to country. But one thing that is evident regardless of style is a feel-good vibe.
The through line for me is always vocally driven, positive articulation. Some stuff that you can sing along to no matter what the genre is.
Let's talk about that positive articulation. I mean, you would definitely be described, I think, as feel good. Is that by design, or do you think that's just what comes naturally?
A little of both. As a songwriter, I do write songs when I'm sad. I do write songs when I'm frustrated, but those aren't the ones I'm going to bring to the stage, because a stage is typically a place where I've asked 1,000 or 5,000 people to gather to sing and dance and have a good time. So feel-good songs are what I want to bring to that event. Singing makes me feel good. And when I feel good, I sing. And then singing makes me feel good. And it just escalates and becomes a constant feel-good experience.
Just to give people an idea of what we're talking about here, let's listen to a little bit of a song off of your new album. This is called Might As Well Dance.
We got nothing to lose. Might as well take off our pants and jacket. Yeah, we're already fools, so we might as well dance.
Now, in the music video for this song, you actually have footage from your wedding day to your wife,
right,
Christina. You call this new album a love letter to her.
Yeah, and for the video, we had not yet shared our wedding video except with those who attended. And as you know, we were sitting in bed one night looking at through different clips that we might be able to use for a video about dancing. We said, well, what if we put a couple of clips from our wedding video of dancing? And then once we started looking at that old footage again, we realized we should just make the entire video about our wedding, because that song started out as a voice memo to her on her voicemail while I was traveling, and I thought it would be a fun way to honor the song.
I hear a lot of people actually use your songs at their weddings. Did you use any of your own songs at your wedding?
I did, but nothing that's been released. The one I used at a wedding was a song I wrote for my wife called The Best Thing I Can Do For You Is Clean Our House.
You didn't want to release that one?
No, not yet. Maybe someday. Maybe, yeah. But it has lines such as "and clean the litter box," you know, very specific things to our daily routines.
How do you stay so upbeat in the face of everything that everyone in this country is dealing with right now? There's a lot of tough things in the news.
Well, I feel that my position can be one that says, "Let's not forget about love," right? And it's hard to love the other side of the aisle, whatever aisle you're on, you know, whatever side of the street or the protest you're on, it's truly hard to love. But what I feel is that we all wake up here in 2000 whatever, and we inherit a really gnarly history, a very violent history. And yet we also stand in a really powerful place where the future isn't written yet. And we can, through loving action, rewrite history, change rules, change laws, and help all of humanity. I certainly don't think investing more money and might in military and weaponry is going to create world peace. So I've always been one who stands for love. And if I can stand in the middle of that protest and help people hold hands and see their own humanity in each other's eyes, then maybe that can help resolve some issues.
We're talking about your new album here today, but I actually want to play a song that I've recently discovered from your 2012 album. This is called 93 Million Miles.
Oh, my beautiful mother, she told me, son, in life you're gonna go far. If you do it right, you'll love where you are. Just know where
thinking about when you wrote this song?
Couple of things. First, it was a thank you to my parents because they gave me permission to pursue the arts as a career path. And they said, look, you can always come back home. You can always work back in Richmond, Virginia, my hometown. But go for it. Live your dream, because if you do what you love and you can love what you do, then you've won. You know, that's success. So the song is a thank you to my parents, but it's also a little bit of about science, or at least elevation. My favorite thing about traveling is when you're up in the airplane and you look back down at Earth and you see, sometimes you can even see sort of the curvature of the Earth. Mm-hmm. And when you look at cities and the urban sprawl, you know, every single one of us just seems so empty and meaningless. Whereas when you're down on the Earth, everything's relative and everything seems so important and traffic seems like a nightmare.
Right.
So it's that little bit of distance when you zoom out that is the reminder of how fragile we are and how precious we are. And so it reminds me to just be more loving and grateful for the limited time we have here.
When you look back on some of your older songs, do you ever listen to them now and say, I wish I would have done this differently?
Oh, yeah, totally. I cringe at some of my older material.
Really?
But I also know that I was in my 20s. I was in my early 20s for a lot of that material. And what's on your mind, at least my mind in my early 20s, was trying to get the girl and where's the next party? And it's not dissimilar to many young people's songs about going to the club and trying to say, look at me. So very ego-driven songs. I can't sing those songs today because it's just not who I am. Hmm. And so I do end up retiring quite a bit of my material. But as a writer, I'm always excited about the new things I'm writing. So my show still has plenty of music.
Well, and one song that you probably will never be able to retire is perhaps your biggest hit, which is I'm Yours. I want to listen to a little bit of that.
There's no need to complicate our time. Sure, this is our fate. I'm yours.
Why do you think that that was such a hit?
I don't know, because if I did know, I would try to write more of them. Right. For sure. But this song, I like to say that song's written in primary colors and has a melody that reminded me of a nursery rhyme, something I would have sung in preschool, kindergarten, etc. And it was also, when I wrote it, it wasn't about anyone in particular. It was more about my love of singing and closing my eyes and surrendering to whatever energy and entity inspires one to write or dream or sing. And when I finally recorded it about 4 years later, I did have a girlfriend. So I sang it with a little more emphasis on, you know, and a little more swagger, I guess. Lyrics like scooch on over closer, dear. That wasn't in the original. But I think that giving away that generosity is something that resonates with people, especially those who are getting married or who want to give their life or their time to something. I think that song really resonates.
You've mentioned former girlfriend, your wife, going after the girl. I want to ask you, though, about a love letter that you wrote to the LGBT community during Pride Month. And you had a line in a poem that said, I am by your side with bi spelled B-I. So,
sure.
So what did you mean by that?
Well, I was making an example of my own sexual preferences, which at times have been on either, you know, the female gender or the male gender. So bisexuality, if you will. And as I was writing this letter that Billboard asked me to write, I realized I couldn't write it to a community that stood over there. Mm. I was with that community. So it felt almost like a lie to say, I'm with you. It felt more comforting and more authentic of me to say, yeah, this is who I am. I've been able to stand on both sides. And, you know, being the B in LGBT is sort of the one that's least, I don't know, it has the least potency, if you will. So it's never been something, I would honestly, most of my life, I assume that everyone must be B until they, land their identity. But for me, I do feel comfortable in my being. And in fact, one of my working titles for this new album, which is called No, K-N-O-W, was LG Meaty, and where I put me as the letter B.
Why did you decide against that one?
You know what? I didn't want to make that the only conversation about this record. And by the end of the process, the album became 10 love letters to my wife, which is great. But it just didn't match the... That title didn't really match the final curation of the record. Plus, my last album was called Yes, and I couldn't pass up the opportunity to have an album called No.
That's Jason Mraz, singer-songwriter. His new album is called No. It is out this week. Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on your program.
And you can find out more about Jason's tour at hearandnow.org.